In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Please be seated. Dear friends, in preparing for this Holy Communion today, the fifth Sunday of Lent, also known as Passion Sunday, I decided to read the entire Gospel appointed for today from St. John chapter 8, the entire Gospel. And I discovered that during Lent, the Gospels are really trying to convince us of one thing, and that one thing is that we are forgiven people. We are forgiven people. We have heard since the beginning of Lent the parable about the merciful father. We have heard about the prodigal son using the strongest language possible. And what we have discovered is that Jesus taught us that we have no bigger sin than God's forgiveness. No sin bigger than God's forgiveness. He taught us that there is nothing we have done or there is nothing we could do to make God stop loving us. He also taught us that we have done nothing to keep us from coming home to the loving embrace of our Father. So we heard it, but the question is, do we believe what we have heard? Well, sure, if Jesus said it is true, then it must be true. So we believe it, at least in a general way. But for some reason, it is still difficult for us to apply such love and forgiveness to ourselves. Jesus knows our hesitation, so today he asks us, okay, now let us make this real. Let us apply it to a real person. So when we read St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, it shows us how Jesus actually deals with a sinful person. And we see in this gospel the woman in the gospel, and we see also what happens with you and me. Let us picture this dramatic scene. When we read St. John chapter 8, we see where the Pharisees caught a woman in the very act of committing adultery. And the Pharisees rejoice in such a catch. What about her partner? He didn't seem to matter. And these law-abiding righteous men were intent on punishing her as the law of Moses prescribed. And the law directs them to stone her to death. Can you see them standing there in their self-righteousness? with stones in hand. And you see her crouching there in the middle of all of them, humiliated by having her sin announced in public. And there she was, this woman, feeling helpless, wondering if God really wanted her to die for what she had done. But those Pharisees, my friends, made a big mistake. They asked Jesus, "So what do you say, Jesus? What do you want us to do? We need to know. Not only for the woman's sake, we need to know for ourselves." And Jesus straightened up, looked them right in the eye, and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And as a result of what Jesus said, they dropped their stones, and one by one, they went away. Now Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And it's just the two of them. "What do you say now, Jesus? Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No, sir, no one." Then Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." This, my friends, is God's forgiveness applied to a real person. And this is how God forgives you and me. When we look at how Jesus treated this woman in John's Gospel, four key words come to mind. Four key words. The first is truth. Jesus did not excuse her. Jesus did not explain away her sin. He did not whitewash it away. In truth, this woman committed sin. Number two, respect. Jesus did not lecture her or berate her by saying, "How could you have done this?" We notice that he treated her with respect and dignity. And more than that, he treated her with loving concern. The third thing is forgiveness. Without any question or condition, Jesus forgave her. She didn't even ask for forgiveness. She didn't even say she was sorry. She was simply unconditionally forgiven. Jesus said those words, "Nor do I condemn you." And fourth and last is the word encouragement. Jesus encouraged her to live a better life. The words of encouragement he gave to her were, "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. Forget the past and start over on a new and better life. So those four themes: truth, respect, forgiveness, and encouragement. What a scene. And this is our story also. What can we say? First of all, Jesus, I acknowledge my sin in truth. I will not excuse myself or explain it away. I own my sin for what it is. Second, Jesus, thank you for respecting me and for treating me with dignity. I guess I should stop kicking myself around and treat myself with some dignity and respect. Third, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me without question or condition. I need that kind of forgiveness. And fourth, Jesus, thank you for encouraging me to live a better life. Yes, with your help, I will be a better person. My dear friends, we are approaching the events of Holy Week next week. Is there anything more Jesus can say or do to convince us of how he forgives us, how he cares for us, and how he loves us? Is there anything more short of dying for us? Someone wrote, the one power that demands a response is the power of love. The one power that demands a response is the power of love. So when someone says to you, seriously, I love you, you may accept it or reject it, but you cannot just shrug it off as if it doesn't matter. Jesus says seriously to you and to me, I love you. What will you do with that? Amen.